So this is March 23rd, talking with Emily Benson. So can you tell me a little bit about the unit, what you planned originally?
Sure. The unit is a literature circles unit. I've split the students into six groups. They're differentiated groups. So I have two groups reading each novel. So it's three novels.
And the novels are?
The novels are sort of in order of difficulty, increasing difficulty. Habibi, Princess, and The Kite Runner. It ties in with the history component that we just actually completed on Wednesday, which was the study of the rise and spread of Islam.
Uh-huh.
So we chose three books that include the religion of Islam in some form, or take place in the Middle East.
And what's the connection with the, I mean, obviously the content, but in terms of what your goals are?
Okay, so goals for the unit, we taught kids what a critical lens is. So this is something new, they haven't done it before. Our goal was to teach students how to read with a critical lens. So the three critical lenses we used in this Lit Circle unit and also in our history unit were culture, religion, and politics. So the big goal was to enable students to read and analyze and interpret their Lit Circle novel using these three critical lenses. The second big goal was to identify bias and to use that in their interpretation of the novel. And this was also a carryover from the history unit as well. So we taught what bias is, we taught what perspective is, and so we've had students focus on identifying what their own bias was about the place in the novel or about the people in the novel before they got into it, identifying what they think the main character's biases are, and what the author's bias is. And then that translates into, okay, now that we know that there's this particular bias in the book, now what do we do with that?
Uh-huh.
How do we use that to make meaning in what we're reading?
And so how have you structured that in terms of the, you know, when did the unit begin?
The unit began 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And we'll finish at the end of next week. So it's been not quite 4 weeks, about 3.5 weeks.
And you started with, so on the first day it was kind of just introduced these
mm-hmm.
lenses or?
Yes. So on the first day, I introduced the essential questions for the unit.
Which are?
The essential questions, there are two of them. How does religion and culture affect one's interpretation of his or her reality? And the second one is, how do we determine the religious and political views of an author? And then from that, how does that affect the way we interpret a text?
Uh-huh.
So I guess it's three. So we introduced the essential questions. I had students do some journaling to just sort of get their initial responses to those questions.
Uh-huh.
We defined what a critical lens is, charted that up, so students took some notes on it.
Mm-hmm. And that's on the board.
That's on the board.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We did a little bit of modeling and practice with the kids. So we decided, okay, if we're looking at our classroom community through these three critical lenses, what sorts of things would we be noticing?
Uh-huh.
So that modeled for the kids what sorts of things they should notice in their text as they began to read. After that, on the first day, I arranged them in their groups and gave them their novels. Each group got some background reading about the conflict and the region that their novel took place in. So the Habibi group read a little bit of background information about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The Kite Runner group read about the Taliban in Afghanistan. And the Princess group read about Saudi Arabia and sort of the role that women are allowed to have in that country. So they read some background information, and then they had about 20 minutes to read silently to get into their books. At the end of 20 minutes, towards the end of class, I handed out and explained a homework assignment, which was really like guided notes. It's a guided notes page, and they've been using it to prepare for each discussion circle. So each time they've had a lit circle meeting, they've had to prepare this homework notes page. And basically what it is, it's just a chart that has three columns, one for culture, politics, and religion. So they've been keeping track of specific aspects of the culture that they see in their book, specific aspects of the politics and how the politics are involved in the conflict that the characters are facing, and the same thing with religion. Mm-hmm. And then at the bottom, there's room for students to write three discussion questions. So we talked about what that would look like, and I think I modeled it maybe with one or two notes, and then that was it.
Mm-hmm. And then the next time was a couple days later when they came back. Mm-hmm.
So a couple of days later, when they came back, that was our first Lit Circles meeting. I believe it was when Pam... Let me double check. I'm not sure if that was when Pam came. Let's see. Lunch Lit Circles. Okay. So, no. So the first Lit Circles meeting... for the first 15 minutes, I gave a mini lesson on point of view, and this was review because we had talked about perspective and bias when we were doing our unit, our history unit, mm-hmm. Particularly looking at current events articles about events in the Middle East and how to determine perspective or bias in those current events articles. But so as review, we talked about how... now that we're approaching literature, we're talking about three specific points of view. Our own point of view about it, the main character's point of view, and then the author's point of view. And so when students sat in their discussion circles, their notes page where the recorder's writing down what students are saying, on the back of that, there was a chart that had students... that just organized their thinking about those three different points of view and then evidence, at least for the main characters and author's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the focus for that lesson. The next lesson that we did focused actually on a discussion skill. I was happy with what they did on Friday with they were able to determine the points of view.
Mm-hmm.
I think there were maybe two groups that had some difficulty with it, but they weren't far enough into their novels yet to really be able to notice any bias in their novel. So I was happy with where they were. So on the next time that discussion circles met, I focused on a discussion skill, and that has been an ongoing project since the beginning of the year, is teaching kids to be self-sufficient readers, writers, and members of an academic discussion, giving them academic discussion language, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So what I had noticed from our reading unit before this is that students, they can write really great questions. They can write really deep, under-the-surface discussion questions, which is great. So that lesson got through to them. But then they would ask each other these great questions, and then they would kind of go around the circle and answer them, and then the discussion would just kind of end there,
mm-hmm.
until someone else asked a really great question. So the lesson that I focused on was asking follow-up questions, which actually is pretty difficult because you have to listen really carefully to what somebody in your group says, and then you have to instantly know what to ask to push that person to explain themselves a little mm-hmm. bit more, or to justify it in a certain way. So that was the lesson for the next discussion circle, and then they met for about 20 minutes. And then that brings us to today, and so we're going to focus on another discussion skill.
But in terms of, I mean, you said you were pretty happy with how things went on Friday. How did they go on Tuesday when you were doing the mini lesson on follow-up questions?
I think they went well again. listening to the groups, I heard a lot of follow-up questions. Most of the groups did what I asked and actually wrote down some of the follow-up questions that mm-hmm. they asked for a specific discussion question, so I had evidence on their notes pages.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the reflections afterwards, I had them reflect on how well the follow-up questions worked, how easy it was,
mm-hmm.
And so I got some good feedback about that. So mm-hmm. I was happy with what I saw.
And in terms of the first couple of days, are there any things that concerned you or things that were particularly challenging?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things are challenging. One thing that's challenging having three books going at once is that, it's hard to circulate and give every group what they need every minute that they need something.
Mm-hmm.
So particularly my two, in this class I only have one group reading Habibi. It's a simpler, the reading level is a little bit simpler, but some of the themes and the characters are more complex. And so, I wish I could just sit in that group the whole time and just help them get to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't, obviously. So I always think that doing multiple novels is, it just feels like there's a lot of balls in the air
right.
that I'm juggling. Another concern I had is that The Kite Runner is long and it's pretty difficult. And I have two groups reading The Kite Runner in this class. I chose those students because they are all really fast readers,
mm-hmm.
And they're avid readers. They like reading. But they only have about 2.5 weeks total to read these novels, and I didn't anticipate that so many of them would still feel a little bit intimidated by how long the novel is. They're over it because they like the novel so much,
mm-hmm.
but I think the first day when they got the book, and then the first meeting that we had, they were like, oh my gosh, this is so long. So I had to really encourage them, but for the most part, they all really have been, drawn in. So they're reading it, but they have a lot of reading
mm-hmm.
To be able to read the book in the time that I've given them. They're reading about 100 pages every maybe 3 or 4 days, which they can all do. They're really fast readers, but it's a lot when your friend only has to read 30 pages for the next. For the next discussion circle day.
Yeah, well, that raises another question, which I want to come back to at some point, is sort of managing the different work and how the students perceive that and things
mm-hmm.
like that. But just so you talked about, these, particularly the concern of juggling a couple of different books, but can you give an example with the Habibi group of somewhere that maybe you were able to help them or you wish that you could have helped them more in their discussion?
Sure. Initially, the students, so in the book, the main character moves with her family from somewhere in the United States, somewhere in the Midwest, I think, to Jerusalem. Her father is a Muslim Arab. I don't remember exactly where he's from originally, but the first, maybe 50 pages of the book are all about this girl who's a teenager, and she'd just gotten her first kiss at home, and now she has to move to this foreign country. And so their discussion completely centered around, how would you feel if you had to do this?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of relating to the character, but less. But then they just completely ignored about 20 or 30 pages that they had read. And I know they had read it because when I asked them about it, they could answer it, but they ignored what I think is the main issue in the book, which is that once this girl moves with her family to Jerusalem, she has to learn about new culture. She has to adapt to a new way of life. She makes friends with another student who is from a different culture, practices a different religion. And so she has to realize, what she learns is that these different cultures are all coexisting in the same place, and yet there's so much tension between them, and that's a new thing for her. But that wasn't the juicy part of the story for them. It was that oh man, I would hate my parents if we had to do this. So, you know, they needed some prompting to get mm-hmm. to what I really wanted them to talk about.
So what did you do?
Just sat with them for a little bit and asked some guiding questions that moved them towards that.
Mm-hmm. Guiding questions like, do you remember?
Yeah, well, what do you think about how the grandmother in the story is influencing the daughter or the granddaughter? I don't even remember what I asked.
That's helpful. Any other concerns? So, that gave us a good sense of some of the things you were thinking about.
No, I think it's been one thing that's been difficult for students is to recognize their own bias going into the novel, and you know maybe they don't have a bias going into the novel. It's okay, we can ignore it. I certainly have a bias going into a novel, and that is I'm approaching a new culture by seeing it through the eyes of my own experiences, and so if something is different, I'm seeing it as different because I'm seeing it through the lens of my own culture, my own religion, my own politics, and it's a skill to be able to remove those lenses to approach something by shedding our own biases. But I think they're like, no, I don't have a bias, I lost my train of thought.
So that bias, it's trying to help them to recognize what their bias is going into the novel is a challenge.
It's a challenge.
Just in terms of, I want to talk a little bit about the plans for today in a bit, but going back to the, you talked about how this unit builds on some of the goals, builds on previous mm-hmm. units, but what were some of the other issues that you kind of had in mind as you were designing the unit, the way you set it up, the assignments you selected?
So that's a good question. So some issues with these ninth graders, their reading levels are all over the place. So I have a very wide range. I was very deliberate in deciding I wanted to do a Lit Circles unit because that way each student ideally is reading something that is on his or her reading level or maybe just a little bit above, so they're being challenged, but that students weren't bored with the reading or weren't frustrated and you know, forced to give up, basically, because I've seen that happen before. So that was the main, so reading levels, just giving each student what they need, meeting each student where they are, mm-hmm. was a big factor. Mm-hmm. Also, teaching students how to be self-sufficient, to engage in an academic discussion, to know the right questions to ask, to know how to annotate their reading as they are reading, in order to have something to talk about, in order to have something to back up what they are saying. Mm-hmm. These are all skills that we've been working on since the beginning of the year. And also these, I don't know if it, this is my first year teaching ninth grade actually, so I don't know if it's just a factor of the age group or maybe these kids, this group of kids in particular, but a lot of them still need a lot of assistance in organizing their thinking. So anytime I can help them organize their notes, I try to. So that ideally by the end of the year they will have all these systems internalized to how to organize their notes, because they're not necessarily going to get that from their teacher in 10th grade.
And so how did you take that into account in this unit? Was that the guiding questions that...
So, in their homework where it's basically just a three-column chart, where they have to take notes in a three-column chart, I mean, it's organized, but they wouldn't have come up with that themselves mm-hmm. at this point. Hopefully mm-hmm. next year, by the end of the year, you know, they've been trained to to use a bunch of different tools mm-hmm. to organize themselves. So that was one. Graphic organizers with their on the back of their notes page for their discussion circles, organizing their what am I trying to say? Point of view mm-hmm. or perspective analysis mm-hmm. into quadrants.
Other kinds of, I mean, it seems like in terms of supporting their discussion skills, that's where you felt like this was the time to focus on follow-up questions and things like mm-hmm. that, because you've worked on other issues mm-hmm. previously. Mm-hmm. I mean, what other issues have you worked on in terms of getting those discussions going? How have you set them up to be successful
okay.
in those
so,
circles?
Sure. So the whole unit at the beginning of the year, the whole first unit was all about annotations and how do you do that? And what are you supposed to annotate? And what does that look like in your book? And We started off with that, which I think is really important because the kids just reading their books and they're not making any marks at all, they're not going to necessarily have anything to talk about because it's just all in there somewhere. And it doesn't help the flow of conversation if they want to find a passage that they want to talk about. If it's not marked, you know, the discussion's going to break down. So that was the first step. And then the next step was focusing on writing good discussion questions. What mm-hmm. makes a good discussion question? So that was the next piece. The piece after that was just practicing and modeling the protocol of accountable talk, which is what we call it at this school. And so in an accountable talk, you make eye contact. You address the comment that was just said when you speak, mm-hmm. so that the comments are connected and not just unrelated. Mm-hmm. Things like that. So we practiced the protocol of just what a good discussion mm-hmm. looks like. We talked a lot about what a facilitator's role is, and they've all had a chance to be a facilitator mm-hmm. multiple times. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where we are now.
And what about, I mean, there's on the one level, there's skills that it takes to engage in the discussion. On the other hand, there's creating an atmosphere so people feel safe mm-hmm. and willing to participate, mm-hmm. which is not always easy.
Right.
How have you tried to create that environment?
The first week of school, we did a lot of goal setting, and we established norms together as a class. The posters are actually on my wall. What our big goal for the year is and what our class norms are. So some examples of those are to be respectful, participate, pay attention. One class came up with don't judge others, mm-hmm. especially when someone makes a mistake. So these came from them. Mm-hmm. We voted on them as a class, charted them up, they all signed them. And it's something that I refer back to as often as I need to. Mm-hmm. So if there's ever a problem, simply reminding them of the class norms mm-hmm. over, you know, 6 months now has reinforced for them what the expectations are mm-hmm. in the classroom. We do tons of group work, and they're in different groups all the time. So they are forced to work with each other, with every type of student. So I never say... So I don't even hear students say, I don't want to work with this person, because they just know that I'm not even going to address that. I'm not even going to, never going to move them because they don't want to work with each other. Mm-hmm. They just know that's not something I will do. If there is any problem with a group, which isn't that often, if I just sit down with the group and talk about what's going on, it usually gets solved pretty quickly. You know, there's the rare time if I have to separate, if one kid just isn't working well, if that person has to go outside for a few minutes and cool down or whatever. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I think that they're used to speaking and speaking in groups with all their other classmates and working with each other, because every single day they have to work with different people.
And there haven't been students who just have been less... willing to participate or reluctant to participate that you've had to, you know, help support? And
there have been. There's a couple. The two two or three students that are the probably the shyest in the class all have English as their second language, and you know, if I had to analyze it, I would say they're probably shy because of that. Mm-hmm. We've had lessons on, like, especially with the facilitator, teaching students how to be a really good facilitator. I've given them sentence starters. There's a poster in the back of the room with sentence starters, so that facilitators are taught to say to their group members, "Hey, we haven't heard anything from you. What do you think about this?" Mm-hmm. Or, "Hey, let's go around the circle and each say what we think about this one idea." Mm-hmm. Different sentence starters to include everyone in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's helped. I also have sentence starters with academic discussion language on the wall back mm-hmm. there. So that's a support as well.
And have you had to play that role in the groups? You said not very often. I mean, the groups themselves are able to make sure that everyone participates?
For the most part, uh-huh. yes. But I'm always circulating and just kind of sitting with different groups for about 5 or 10 minutes throughout the period. And if I'm there for 5 minutes listening to the conversation and a student hasn't spoken yet, I'll say, "Hey, facilitator, you know,
right.
ask her what she thinks."
Uh-huh.
Just to kind of nudge them to get going. Another thing I've done is in their discussion groups, a lot of times there'll be a reporter,
mm-hmm.
And the reporter has to tell the class what the group discussed, what maybe like the three best ideas were. And so a lot of times I'll tell the student beforehand, "I haven't really heard enough from you this week. I'm going to choose you as the reporter, so just mm-hmm. be ready." And so I will make the shyer students a reporter maybe once every mm-hmm. 2 weeks or something. And they know it's, you know, I've told them beforehand, they're ready for it, and they know that one of their goals is to participate more in class. And mm-hmm. so, you know, they're kind of like, "Oh, okay, I'm going to do this." So that's another chance to build more participation.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
The story, is it supposed to repeat in the beginning?
Does it repeat?
Yeah.
Wait, let me see. No, it doesn't. Does it? I had to piece it together. It doesn't repeat. Wait. Oh, it does repeat. Wait, does it?
Yeah, the straw part repeats.
Oh, that's my fault. I was cutting and pasting it.
I thought it was part of the thing, like, where the kids had to read it carefully, something like that. I was like...
Wait, where did... Okay, so it's these two paragraphs, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's my fault.
Okay.
I had to cut and paste the whole thing from, like, a storybook.
Oh.
So I just cut and pasted wrong. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Will you just tell them?
No, yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Sorry.
Thanks for asking.
So you talked a little bit about what you do in the groups and how you structure them, but what about the setup of the groups themselves, particularly for this unit? How did you think about putting these groups of students together?
Okay, so I divided them into three bigger groups based on their reading level. The way I'm judging their reading level or evaluating their reading level is by how quickly they can finish a book and be able to think critically about what was in that book and what the ideas were in the book. We do independent reading throughout the year,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm always once or twice a week for 45 minutes. Well, really for 30 minutes, the students are doing independent reading, and I'm conferring with them. I try and get to every kid every month, so which is kind of difficult. But so I know, and they're keeping track of the books that they read. So mm-hmm. I know how quickly they can read, how they can get through a book. I know the types of books they choose to read. So I split them up into three groups, sort of just thinking, are they going to be able to read this book in the 2.5 or 3 weeks right. that I give them? And then arranging groups from there, I just tried to put personalities together so that each group had at least one person that was the type of student that would just naturally keep students on task. You know, so that each group had at least one or two people who were very talkative, so that I didn't put all the naturally quieter kids together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's about it.
And so there's kind of a tension. Well, there might be a tension between sort of reading quickly and critical comprehension. So how do you? I mean, are there some students that you worried about whether you had them in the right group because maybe they're reading quickly but not with as much comprehension as you'd like, or did that not enter into it?
No, definitely it did. In fact, I have some readers who are, it's the issue is more that I have some readers who are slower readers but are really thoughtful readers.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to put them in the group, in sort of the middle group, their group reading princess.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew that they would really be able to get a lot out of that book.
Mm-hmm.
But then my worry was, are they going to be able to finish it?
Mm-hmm.
So I do have a couple kids that are reading Princess. But I think that those groups are really loving the book so much that they're reading it. Mm-hmm. So they're getting through it.
Mm-hmm. And what about, so you've set up these lit circles. Is this the first time you've done lit circles like this with three different...
Yes,
books.
It is. The other reading sort of structures we've used, we read Antigone as a whole class. So we did drama as a whole class at the beginning of the year. Then we did independent reading book partnerships. So two kids were reading the same book and were meeting twice a week to talk about their book. And same thing, like with some guided, you know, they were looking for specific things that we'd been discussing in class. Then we read Catcher in the Rye as a whole class, so that was a class novel. And then we did independent reading partnerships again, because they really liked that.
Mm-hmm.
They're more accountable to their reading if somebody else is reading the same thing, and they love talking about what they're reading with somebody else, and sort of doing the analysis with a partner. So we did that again, and then now here we are at Lit Circles. So we have three books going, they're reading in a group. We are going to do, the plan right now is to do one more Lit Circles unit after this, when we do our history unit on South America. And then we're going to end the year but with the whole class reading Othello.
Mm-hmm. And how do the students respond to being split into groups like this? How do they feel about it?
Well, most of these students have been at this school since middle school, and it's just the culture of our school is group work.
Mm-hmm.
So they're used to it.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, they know how to work in groups.
Mm-hmm.
And so my job has been giving them the language and the skills to just get the most out of those groups.
And are some concerned that they're in a group, you know, that's reading what is a simpler book, or...
No.
Because they...
I think because they... I mean, we've told them... It's pretty explicit. I mean, we're transparent by saying there's going to be three different books. I'm giving you this book because I know you can read it in the time. It's a little bit longer. I'm giving you this book. It's a great book, and I think it's right on your level.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I think that the kids with the lower book appreciate that they're not being dragged through something that they're going to be that they're going to feel unsuccessful reading. So I haven't had to answer any questions or deal with anything.
I mean, how do you think about how then trying to get them all to the, you know, to real proficiency or mastery of the kinds of goals that you have?
So I think that just each unit, just moving all the groups up another notch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that at the end of the year they're all going to get to the same place.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really my goal. My goal is just to move them all up in their skills. so that it, the gap certainly narrows
mm-hmm.
As much as it can.
Mm-hmm. And what about your plans for today? So what's the...
Okay, so the plan for today, they're going to come in, and the discussion skill that I'm teaching today is taking it back to the book. So what they're not that great at yet is justifying and defending their interpretation or their point of view with evidence from the text. So I'm going to teach a little mini lesson about that, about how to do it. And then review the protocol for their discussion circles, and then turn them loose in their groups for about 20 minutes to discuss what they've read and hopefully encourage each other to back up their interpretation. So that's what I'm really going to be looking for in their discussion groups.
Say more about what are you listening for, or looking for, that's going to tell you that they're...
Sure. So specific questions, such as, well, where in the book did you find that idea? What did the character say that made you think that?
Mm-hmm.
Prove it to us. What page is that coming from?
Mm-hmm.
So specific questions like that. And then whether or not the student can actually do that,
mm-hmm.
find the quote or the paragraph or
mm-hmm.
the whatever the character said that made the student think that way about the mother or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But in terms of the general topic or for the conversation, those are going to come from their questions.
So their discussions are still coming from their own questions
that they've generated homework.
Mm-hmm, for homework, and from their notes page that they did for homework. So still talking about the culture, the cultural conflict in their book, the political conflict, and the religious conflict.
Mm-hmm. And anything in particular you're expecting to see or anticipating, or in terms of where they are in the conversations for the groups that we're going to be documenting?
What do you mean?
I mean, it's specifically, what has happened in those conversations before. You have in mind that, oh, they're off and running, I don't need to worry about them, or, they're getting bogged down, they're not, mm-hmm. everybody's not participating. I mean, do you have particular concerns or things you're thinking about for those specific groups, or just the same general concern about bringing it back to the text?
For the most part, they're off and running. In specific groups, I'm worried about just individual students who haven't contributed as much. So just individual concerns about students who might not be getting it or haven't completed the reading.
Mm-hmm.
would be the main concern.
Mm-hmm. And if you think about where you want to end up at the end of the day today, how will you know if you've gotten to where you want to get?
So I think listening and recording some of what they say, so circulating through the groups. Also, they are going to do a reflection for me, a little just half page to reflect on how hard it was, or how hard was it to back up their justifications, how did that affect the flow of the conversation. So I'll get the reflections, and then I'll also see their the notes page that the recorder in their group has written on and recorded all of the ideas from
mm-hmm.
the group. So I'll see that as evidence as well.
Mm-hmm. And then looking ahead, the plans for the... Well, I guess before I ask that, is there anything in terms of... you planned the unit originally. Is there anything that you've shifted or changed as the units unfolded, or has it pretty much gone the way you anticipated?
No, it's pretty much gone the way I anticipated. The piece that I've had to do the most work on is the culminating project, when I was planning the unit, I definitely had my vision for what it was going to be.
Which
the groups are going to be They're going to take on a role. They're going to be a group of journalists and photographers, and they're going to do, I've set up this whole like scenario. They're going to pitch a story to some editors from Time Magazine, and their feature story is about the comparison between the culture or the politics or the religion in their novel to the culture or politics or religion of a different place and time in history. Mm-hmm. So the two skills I'm looking at are the compare and contrasting skill, and then being able to recognize patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, some students who are reading Princess want to focus on the cultural critical lens. So they decided that the cultural conflict in the book is mainly about a group of people being oppressed by the dominant group, which the book is about Saudi Arabia. It's about how this one woman, a member of the royal family, is totally oppressed. So they are going to compare that to Japanese-American internment during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to, fully explain the one conflict, fully explain the other, and talk about how the two are similar and different.
Mm.
So the product is going to be a PowerPoint that they have to first address their biases and the author's bias, then they have to go through sort of explaining the two conflicts, drawing the comparisons, and then talking about patterns that they see. And I had that vision, I knew that was what it was going to be, but then last week when I was talking to my co-teacher and we were thinking, okay, how are we going to scaffold this, we realized that we really needed to support them in the steps to think through how they were going to come up with an idea, how they were going to decide which lens to use. So that's the element that we've really had to sort of flesh out more, I guess. So we spent yesterday, I introduced the project to the kids yesterday, and we went through, and I modeled for them how I would think through it, and I did sort of a whole planning sheet that was like a graphic organizer using the book Habibi.
Mm-hmm.
And so really had to guide their thinking, which I didn't really know ahead of time that I was going to need to do that, but once I had really fleshed out the project, I realized they're going to need some more support with this.
And so then the plan is you'll have another mini lesson in Lit Circle next week.
Mm-hmm.
And then
that'll be the final one.
Uh-huh.
So
what's that mini lesson going to be?
That mini lesson is going to be, what is it going to be? That mini lesson is going to be on extending the discussion when students run out of things to say. So what does your group do when you have nothing left to say? So that's the discussion skill for that. On that day, they should have their novels finished. So that'll be the last discussion circle. They'll get Friday to work in their groups on planning, putting together their PowerPoint presentation. So we'll have the mobile lab in here. And then presentations are on Thursday and Friday.
Wait, you said they're going to work on Wednesday.
Yes, Wednesday.
And then the presentation's on Thursday and Friday.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they're going to get think time. They're going to get work time today as well on their projects for the second half of class.
And in terms of those projects, again, when you're looking at those projects, what are you going to be looking for to tell you whether or not the unit has been successful?
So sure. So I'm looking at the three skills I'm looking at. One is just presentation skills, but the two thinking skills are the compare and contrast, and then the recognizing patterns. And I'll know that they understood everything in their book by, I think, the detail that they give me, the specifics, the thoroughness of their explanation.
Mm-hmm.
Of the conflicts.
Great. All right.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Cool. Thanks.